So we are talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and I appreciate the last couple of weeks, Dr. Chip Phillips and Pastor Ansu just brought the Word of God with power as we talk about building that character. Today, what I want to focus on, and I want you guys to really stop and just think about this for a second today, we're going to talk about this idea of digging deeper into the law. The next 6 weeks, counting this week, five more after this week, deal with this idea that Jesus rolls out about we need to dig a little deeper and not sort of have this superficial outward understanding of what we understand to be God's law. So we're going to look at that today. And today the context, by the way, is murder. And probably you guys are going like, well, that's not me. I'm looking at y'all. I'm a little bit scared, right? Murder is a big thing. That's one of those big sins, right? One of the bad ones, right? But we're going to talk about relationships, and we're going to talk about that in the context of murder, anger, relationships, and reconciliation. And it's so important to us as the body of Christ because relationships are the window to our soul. And they really indicate what's going on. So we're going to look at that. By the way, you guys notice the picture that I chose is fire. It's kind of an interesting picture, isn't it? But you'll see as that plays out how what is burning in our hearts comes out in our words, in our actions. We're going to look at that as we dig in a little bit this morning. So here's the challenge, and I'll throw this out today. Don't we all struggle to understand some of the awful things that people do to each other? And I know we say, we're like, I can't believe that this person could do that. You know, I can't believe that. Is that even possible that this would take place? But I want to share, I want to listen to the Lord today, to Jesus, as he gives us valuable insight into that problem and some real plans that we can overcome it this morning. So let's look at that. So we're going to dig in. The eternal truth that I want to share with you guys, and this is kind of what, you know, if somebody asks you in the parking lot, what do they talk about? This is it. You know, building God's kingdom here is the result of building God's character in his people. And I want to get this in our minds. Real, genuine Christian character is superlative. In other words, it's not just more, it's the most. It rises above everything else. And it's superlative through Jesus Christ. And ultimate and heinous sins such as murder are really the product of unchecked rebellion that's in our hearts and the lack of spiritual control. And what I want us to focus on this morning is we need to target the root of sin and rebellion to maintain this kind of superlative character. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up for a second. Most of us would probably say we would never contemplate killing someone or murder. But you know what? Murder is a crime of passion. And it's not impossible that could come out of one of us, even God's people. Because it's reflective of what is going on in our hearts. So we have to kind of really be real with what God's saying here. We're gonna dig into that right now. So what I want to share with you this morning is first the connection, and Pastor Ansu laid this out last week, and Dr. Chip Phillips laid it out the week before, kind of this perspective. Now we're getting into the details of the Sermon on the Mount. We covered the Beatitudes, the things that make us blessed, the character qualities in total that are blessings. We understand that Jesus said a couple of things, and I want you to read this with me. Jesus, by the way, said both of the things. He said he came to fulfill the law. Did he say that? So the law, right, is not, you know, wiped out, destroyed, torn down. The law has a purpose, you know, in leading us to Christ and helping us to understand that we can fulfill the commandments of God in the power of Jesus Christ as his Spirit controls us and as his word changes us. So this idea of fulfilling the law is all about what we're going to talk about today. The second thing that we want to focus on is not only fulfilling the law, but this idea of exceeding the law. And you go, wow, that seems hard. So let's just dig into scripture and we're going to kind of get a sense of that. And I'll just share this real quick this morning. Notice what Jesus said in your Bibles in Matthew chapter 5, where we are. Jesus said these words. He said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." And everybody understand, everybody look up for a second. When people use this phrase in like a Jewish context or a Hebrew context, the idea of the law and the prophets is he's saying all of the Old Testament, the law, you know, the law of the first five books, right, the Pentateuch and the prophets, it kind of sums up everything. That's a Jewish way of saying everything that God says is going to be fulfilled. Remember, Pastor Ansu said this last week. He said, Jesus said these words. He said, every jot and tittle will be fulfilled. So nothing that God said is going to get forgotten. God's not going to glaze over it and just be big picture with us. It's all going to be fulfilled. It all matters. It all counts. And Jesus said that. So we kind of have to, that's our connection into where we're going to go this morning. The second thing that he also said is he said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God," or heaven, it says. So stop and think for a second. Scribes and Pharisees, what are they known for? And everybody, you all have the negative idea in your mind. What are they known for positively? They know the law, by the way, right? Scribes were like lawyers. They know the law. You know, if you have a legal problem, don't ask me. Go to a lawyer, right? If you have a legal problem, sometimes the law is so detailed. There's so much minutiae. There's so much that is behind it. You got to ask somebody that knows it. The scribes knew the law inside out. They knew the words. They were the ones who were involved in copying the scripture so that not a word of scripture would be lost when they made a copy of one scroll to another. You know, can you imagine, by the way, in our world, can you imagine literally hand copying the scriptures word by word, right? So these guys, they knew the law. You know, they understood sort of the large picture of the law. They understood the words that were there. And then the Pharisees were the ones who kept the law. They were serious about keeping the law. They were the fundamentalist of the day. They understood the Bible. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They understood, you know, what the law was about and why it was so important to keep it. But the challenge in these people was it was sort of all an external exercise. You know, they were worried about what I do when everyone's looking, not what I do when no one's looking. Right? And that's kind of the difference. And Jesus said to them, he says, if you're going to be part of the kingdom of heaven, you have to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And by the way, in that day, people would be like, wow, how could I ever do that? Like they knew they had to obey the Sabbath. They knew they couldn't do certain work on the Sabbath. They knew they had to do the sacrifices this certain way for them to be valid with God, but it was all sort of on the outside. And that's what Jesus wants to get at this morning as we kind of dig in. So they have this connection, and Jesus said, right, we got to what? Fulfill the law and exceed the law. And now he begins to take these next six things, these issues that all people deal with and contemplate, and he takes it a step further. He really digs in. You guys ever hear this phrase? It's kind of a, maybe not exactly the way I want to say it, but they say the devil's in the details. Well, you know what? In this case, holiness and righteousness is in the details. Right? Not the devil. We don't worry about him. We're worried about holiness and righteousness is in the details and understanding what the Bible really teaches. So we're going to slide on. And what I want to start out with first is there's sort of a construction here that you see in this text, and you're going to see it like six times. And the construction is this. Jesus says these words, and look with me, if you would, at verse 21. And let's just read it out loud. What's the first phrase? Read it out loud. What's it say? Okay, you have heard that it was said to those of old. So what Jesus is talking about is, he says, this is kind of the common understanding. You've heard the scribes and the Pharisees and the rabbis and the religious scholars. This is what they say. As they read the law, this is what they say. This is their commentary. This is their understanding. But notice what Jesus doesn't stop there, because he says, but what? But I say. And I want to ask this question. I want to look, and we'll dig this into in a second more. We're looking to change today our perspective. We got to change our perspective. So let's look at the text, for example. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, Jesus says it. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. I'm going to stop there. We're going to dig in further in a second. Notice, by the way, Jesus takes the next five topics the same way. And if I go to verse 27, Jesus deals with what we're going to deal with next week, which is the topic of adultery. How do we handle this gift called sex? You know, bluntly, that's what we're talking about. He talks about that. He said, this is what they say, but here's what I say. Then he goes on next, and you can read along with me. Notice he goes to verse 31 and 32, and he talks about another hot topic, divorce. He said, this is what they say, and here's what I say. And I'll throw this out. Are those some relevant issues that today as we think about life? They really are. They're really challenges. They're really struggles for us, right? Then notice he goes on next, and in verse 33, he picks it up again, and he talks about swearing or oaths. This is what they say. This is what I say. And he talks about retaliation. Everybody look up. Anybody ever think about retaliation? Somebody does you wrong. What do you want to do? I just want to love them for Jesus. Right? No, not so much, right? Not at that moment. Anyway, I might want to love them later after I give them a good one. Right? So he deals with that issue too. And then he deals actually with love. And again, he kind of fleshes that out. So this is sort of this pattern, and you're going to see that emerge over the next couple of weeks. That's what we're going to look at as we deal with these hot topics. So I want you guys to get this in your mind. This is where you might want to jot down a couple of thoughts. So when it says, you have heard it said, Jesus is referring to the teaching of the various rabbis. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. The teaching of the rabbis, they are human. Their focus is outward. The results they look for are very achievable. And they're also very boastable. That make sense? And here's the idea. You know, I could say, well, I never, by the way, everybody look up. You know, I have to ask this just the right way. I was going to say, raise your hand if you're a murderer. That's a bad question, right? In a sense, right? And if you are, praise God that God brought you here, because all sin is forgivable, right? And in some sense, there's a whole congregation of murderers here, right? In a real way. But the issue here is what Jesus is saying, and what he wants us to understand is these Pharisees, they looked at life and they said, well, I never murdered anybody. And that made them kind of become very pompous and very proud. And people thought, they were like, wow, look at those Pharisees. They had the best gowns. They did all the right things on the outside. They prayed exactly when you're supposed to. You know, in our day, you hear people sometimes, you know, back in the day, they would pray in King James English. And people go like, wow, that's amazing. You know, how spiritual those people are, right? And that's, these Pharisees, they were just like that. They were very human, very outward. The results were very achievable. And they could boast about how good they were. And effectively, what Jesus is doing is correcting that type of misinterpretation of these commandments of the law. And you remember, if you go all the way back to the book of 1 Samuel, when Israel was going to choose the king, the nation of Israel, they chose Saul because he was head and shoulders above the rest. He looked like a king. If he said something, you want to obey what he said. But the Lord said this about him. He said, you know what? He said, man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And that's sort of the difference that Jesus is trying to teach and teach us. I'm going to throw that, everybody look up for a quick second. Isn't it easy to get caught up in the outside of Christianity? Christianity, by the way, is more than just coming to church on Sunday. I'm glad you guys are here. This is us getting ready to prepare and play the game of life this week. You know, we come to worship our God. We come to bring our burdens and our needs to our God. We come to praise him with every part of our body, our voice, our heart, our soul. And then we come to think about God's word and apply it to our lives where we live. So church is this thing that we need. It's kind of like, you know, very often, you know, like we got to huddle together and kind of get things right before we execute the game. And that's what God wants us to do. And he wants us to understand it's not just this outside stuff. And Jesus, I move on and I talk about this phrase, but I say, it says, Jesus now moves from sort of the outward manifestation to the motives and to the movements of our hearts. And that's what I want you guys to get a hold of. When he says, I say, he says, I'm moving away from just what everybody sees, and I'm moving to the motives and the movement that is in your heart. And by the way, those motives and that movement often is really in the wrong direction, isn't it? Amen? Out there, everybody look up. Anyone today angry at somebody else in church? Don't raise your hand, but think about it. Think about it. For real, right? Does that happen? Maybe it's someone in another church. Are you angry at them? You know, and by the way, is that anger because, you know, they have done something against God? Probably not. It's probably they did something against you, and that's why you're hot. And that's why I'm hot, right? So the Lord talks about that, and he says, I read here, God wants righteousness on the inside, not just the outside. Remember, our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that is only possible through Jesus. That's only possible when I know him as my Savior. I've taken his free gift of salvation. His Holy Spirit lives within inside me, and he doesn't let me live life the way I want to comfortably. Get that? Let me say that one more time. When the Holy Spirit's inside me, he doesn't let me live life against God and be comfortable with it. Right? And I'll throw this out, by the way, whether you're a child, a teenager, or anywhere else until the time you step into heaven, when we sin against God, when we rebel against God, it's not comfortable for us to do that, although we try to make it comfortable. Right? And that's what Jesus is trying to say. He says, but I say, this is it. And your righteousness got to be different. And my righteousness needs to be different. And our perspective, and I use this word, our working perspective of the law needs to be this. And I want to examine it and explain it. Often, we want to ask these kind of questions. What can I still do and say I'm a good Christian? That is completely the wrong question, right? Because God, by the way, everybody look up. The Lord is glad you're in church today. And in an honest way, some of your bodies are here, but that's all. right? And I'm really serious, right? Some of our bodies are here. And by the way, sometimes that can be me. You know, life's so crazy or whatever happens, and I come, and I'm like, man, I just need to get myself together and be where God wants me to be. Otherwise, I'm going to be useless to the rest of you. Right? But our perspective here is God wants us to examine, wants to have that kind of life where it's not what can I do and still be a Christian, but God is looking at my heart. You know, I could have the nicest suit on and look the best ever, but my heart may look like the trash can. You know, and God is on that. He really wants to speak to that issue. So I want to move on today, and I want to just remind us. So that's this idea, the construction. Jesus saying, you know what? I know they said this, but here's the real deal that I want you to get a hold of. And we're going to focus on that this morning. So let's dig in. So we're going to talk about murder, the concepts concerning relationships. We're going to look at a couple of things, right? Murder, right? That's the big stuff. Anger kind of gets us near to the root of this problem. Our speech is reflective of the problem. We're going to look at what is true worship and the heart, and then what are the consequences of bad relationships if I don't fix them. So let's just jump right on in this morning into that thought and that theme. And I want to just dig right on in right now. So here's murder, the big stuff. Let's go right to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. And by the way, look up. Is murder wrong? Yeah, of course it is, right? You know, it goes all the way back, and I put it there, Exodus 20, 13, right? You shall not murder. And the idea is premeditatively kill. I define it. Most of all, we would agree with the intentional taking of another human life, excluding war, is a transgression or a violation of God's law. Right? We agree with that, right? Guess what? The Pharisees and scribes did as well. And here's the point. When Jesus starts out, he wants to get them to think. So he says, this is something that you all generally accept. Murder's wrong. Of course, Jesus. You know, I read the Old Testament. What do you think? I think. So, okay, here we go. So you guys agree that's wrong, right? But then look what Jesus does next. Murder's the big stuff. Murder's the what we all see. And by the way, it's like the ultimate worst result of a sinful heart. But look what happens next. And I'm going to dig right into it. The next thing that Jesus says is, by the way, I don't like this. Do you like this? Is anybody prone to anger out there? I see a hand in the back. Everyone's afraid to raise their hand, and because if they do, people are going to, like, slide away. Honey, we're going to get a new row next week. You know, right? We're not going to sit there anymore. But this idea of anger, we're getting to the root issue, and the root issue is our hearts. And Jesus says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And we'll come down to the words in a second because it's in the same verse. So I want you to get this. I put this in the middle. The anger here that he's talking about, the Greek language has two main words for anger, right? And this word for anger is the word orge, and it has different other forms. But this word, the idea of this word is, it is an anger of deliberate hostility and vengeance. And I'm going to throw this out. This word is even used of God's wrath against sin. Right? So this idea here is we have this anger of deliberate hostility and vengeance. The other word is the Greek word, and it comes to the word thymos, and it has the idea of a more sudden, passionate anger. You know, it's the kind of anger when somebody hits you, you want to hit them back. I share a funny story. I was driving home from church to actually go get somebody the other week, and I'm sitting at the traffic light. I drive this road literally hundreds of times in a year or thousands of times in a year because I live in Burlington, like just a little while away. I'm sitting at the traffic light at Wild Wild, minding my own business, and bam, this car hits me right in the back. You know, it's like shocking. We're just like, you're almost not sure what to do at that point. So we got off the road, pulled in the Wawa. Thank God it was bumper to bumper. Everything is okay. There's a whole lot more to the story, which I won't go into. I didn't do anything. I didn't fight the person. It's not that part. The police came and everything was cool, you know, but it was just real crazy. But that kind of, I'll throw this out. When someone does that to you, doesn't that make your anger kind of rile up a little bit? Right? That's thymus. What we're talking about is orge, which is, you know what? I don't like that guy. Or that guy wronged me, and I really want to get him back. Anybody been there? Yeah. You need a lot of medication to fix this one, I think, right? But amen, right? So this anger puts us in danger, though, of eternal judgment from God. And the word that you see there, because Jesus says this, he said, you'll be in danger of the judgment. The word there is this word in the Greek language. It comes from this word, krinomai. It's the idea of judging. And it's used of God, and it has this idea how ultimately, and I put the verse here, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15, talks about the great white throne judgment, when God is going to judge everybody based on their works. And it's for real, and it's final, and there's no getting over, getting out, it's a done deal. And he says, if we kind of have this type of anger in our heart, we are also in danger of hellfire, just like the one who just murdered someone. And I throw out, wow, really? You know, like we want to say, you know, I'm not a murderer. Look at me, I'm in church every Sunday. But God says, but you're an angry man. You're an angry man with a sinful heart. And I'll throw this out. That anger isn't, it may start out in my house, and it just keeps going other places, doesn't it? You know, it's people that, you know, someone hits my car, someone doesn't give me what I want, someone's late, this happens, and I get hot. And he's saying, that's the kind of anger that puts me in danger of eternal hell. Praise God, his mercy is more. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. But if I want to have a character that is a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't stop at murder. I got to deal with what is the root. And it's these kind of feelings and emotions. And by the way, when you stop and you think about anger, and I don't know about you, that's something I do wrestle with. I can have, at church, it seems like my fuse is endless. When I get outside of church, my fuse can be really short. And by the way, sometimes even at church, it looks like it's short too, right? And that's bad. And look what, you know, by the way, the Bible talks so much about this particular issue. And it is an emotion. And I'll throw this out, anger itself or emotions themselves are not sins. But what I do with them leads to sin. And notice, by the way, look what Jesus' brother wrote in the book of James. He said, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and what? Slow to wrath. And by the way, guess what Greek word that is? It's the same one, it's orge. Be careful of a vengeful hostility toward another person. By the way, suppose you might be saying, well, you don't know what they did. God did not give us that exception. Right? He didn't say, you know, you want to be angry at them, it's okay if they did these things. He's saying, be careful of that thing, because he says, and by the way, get this in your mind, for that kind of anger, that vengeful anger of hostility, does not produce the righteousness of God. It never does. It never does. So we got to be careful. We got to look at our heart, because if we see that root starting to come up, we better tear it out fast. Because it's going to be a whole plant or a tree real soon. And you know, we think about this idea of anger. You know, again, the Bible talks about this. And once you guys get a feel of this in your life, and we need to all relate to this idea, James in chapter 4, he says these words. He says, Where do wars and fights come from among you? Everybody think about that. When you get ready to fight, where does that come from? And he says, doesn't it come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? In other words, you want what you want, and if you don't get it, you're going to be angry. Because the desire is strong, and that desire needs to be curtailed. It needs to be curbed. It needs to be mortified by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and by the way, look at those. Aren't they strong words? Where do wars and fights come from among you? You know, in church, because, you know, we try to be civil with each other, we never talk about warring with each other. But you know what? On a real level, it's going on. It's going on. You know, I don't like that guy. You know what he did? You know, or you know what he said about me? You know what he thinks? You know what he told so-and-so? No. And the Lord's saying, let's just warn there. And look what he says. He says, you lust and you do not have. And by the way, notice what anger led to right in this passage. What's the next word? You what? You murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. Think about that. So this root of anger leads to murder, and it still doesn't get my desires what they want. They're out of line. They're out there, this word, yes, understand this word. They're insatiable. You know, like the thirst for what I want is so great, you know, I could drink a gallon of Gatorade and it wouldn't satisfy that thirst. You know, it's not enough. I can't satisfy it. And he says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your pleasures. Sometimes we even go to God and say, God, give me what I want because I'm going to do really good things for you. Right? And what's happening is I'm just trying to get what I want. I'm trying to wheel and deal with the creator of the universe. And it doesn't really work. And this is the problem, because our hearts are a mess. They are broken beyond repair. And without Jesus, there's no hope. And we kind of hallelujahed our depravity. But let's hallelujah. You know what? God's mercy is more. And it helps us to address these issues. And it gives us a way to live life that's different, that brings glory to God, that shows the world a character that is only obtainable by people that know the King. And that's what he wants us to understand. And I'm going to move on from that passage, and I'll just share with you guys, and we could preach on this all day long. But this idea of anger, the Bible just keeps talking about it. He says, but now you yourselves are to put off these things. And look what he says. By the way, anger, which one is that, you think? Same one, orge. Wrath, by the way, he says, put that off too. Put those flashes of anger, put that off too. And by the way, this in the book of Colossians, he's talking about changing our wardrobe to stop looking like the world and looking like Christ. Stop looking like who you were and start looking like who you are in Jesus. And it's possible, he says, put those things off. And he lists, you know, other things with that as well. In Ephesians 4, look what it says, be angry and do not sin. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. That seems confusing. Why is he saying, don't be angry, then he's saying, be angry? What's he saying? Here's what he's saying. If you have an anger that's righteous, in other words, you're angry because people are in rebellion against God, or you're in rebellion against God, that's a righteous anger. By the way, in our lives, we're not feeling a lot of that. We're feeling, I didn't get what I want, and I'm mad, right? But he says, if you are angry in a righteous way, don't sin. Look what he says as well. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I want to call time out for a second. Stop for a second here. Here's what the Lord's trying to help us understand, right? Is that now that we understand that murder is not the hot issue, it's sort of the result of what's going on in our hearts, now the Lord says, I'm going to give you some things that you need to do in order to manage this so that you can live a righteous life. And here's what he says. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Everybody look up. You know what he's saying? He's saying, deal with today's issue today. Because, you know, I'm going to sleep on it. And you know how that usually goes. Like, you end up not sleeping on it and just keep thinking about what a jerk that other person is. And in reality, it's really probably you or me. Right? But he says, don't let the issues go by. You know, we have this phrase in our culture, we're just going to let it blow over. The winds will blow it over for a little while until it blows up. That's the challenge. So he says, don't wait. And by the way, look at verse 27. Everybody get this in your minds. If you have this anger of vengeance and hostility in your heart, and you keep it there, and you keep feeding it and nourishing it and giving it drinks and taking care of it and rationalizing it and doing all those things with it, what are we going to do? We're saying, devil, come on in and use me. He says, don't give place to the devil, right? And that's exactly what we're doing. We're to open up the door to say, you know, I'm going to be real angry at what this person did, and I'm just opening up the door so the devil can use me as one of his instruments. Don't give him a place. By the way, he's good enough at getting in your life, so if you know he's trying to get in that way, shut that door. That's what he's trying to say, right? And look at Psalms. Psalm 37 says this, says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Isn't that interesting? All the things that we get all hot and bothered about, our hot and bother doesn't help us. Right? And he says, for evildoers are going to get cut off, and those who wait on the Lord will inherit the earth. Check out Ecclesiastes, and by the way, I'm not going to look at them all because there's so many. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes just talk so much about this issue of anger, about be careful of the angry man, watch out when anger wells up, all those things. But look what Ecclesiastes, and you know, Solomon wrote this, he said in chapter 7, verse 9, he said, do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. And by the way, everybody read the last phrase. What's it say? For anger rests in the bosom of what?
Fools.
Ooh, dang, God is really hitting us hard today, isn't he? Right? So stop and think about that. And by the way, I'm saying me too. We all wrestle with this problem. We got to deal with this issue. We got to get at the root of this issue if we're going to overcome it. Here's the next one. Check this one out, right? How about the speech? Look at the next verse. Look what he says. He says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother and without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Here's an interesting thought. What about our speech? The real issue, the core issue, the root issue is our heart. So our speech kind of shows what's in our heart. And by the way, Jesus said that in Luke. He said it also in the Gospel of Matthew. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. So whatever comes out your lips is resident in your heart and my heart. Uh-oh. That's kind of scary, isn't it? And the Lord says this, right? He says, walk in wisdom to those who are outside the body of Christ. Redeem the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how to answer each one. And sadly, we got some salty speech, but it's not seasoned by the Holy Spirit. And it reveals what's going on in our hearts. And again, God's like, go to the heart, go to the heart, go to the heart, and deal with those issues, right? That's what God wants us to do, right? So I'll just share with you real quick. We're going to go to true worship. If you're kind of wondering, the idea, he says the word raca. I've never talked to anybody at church or outside and said, you raca. Don't go out there and say it either. Here's what it means, right? It's kind of saying, the idea of that word is, you empty-headed person. And we do say that. We say, you dummy, what are you doing? Right? Do we say that? Right? And again, understand what that is a lot of times when we're saying that, we're lifting ourselves up on the back of this other person that may or may not be as knowledgeable as we are. You know? So again, how we talk about things is an evidence of the filth that's in my heart. So I got to be careful. And that's what he's trying to understand. And I want to throw this out. See Jesus' emphasis on the inside, not the outside of the religiosity. Now, he's not talking about, well, you're a nice guy, you know, on the outside. He's not saying that at all. And what I want to get us to, and in this passage kind of lays it here, look what Jesus says. He says, as a result of what I just taught you, he said, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So I want to stop for a second. Let's think that through for a second. What's Jesus saying? Here's what he's saying. And by the way, I didn't plan this schedule this way. The Holy Spirit must have. Today is the Lord's Supper. So by the way, in a lot of our cultures, we got the best suit on. Even our kids are dressed up. They look nice today. Everybody's looking good because today is Communion Sunday. And we got to be godly on that day of any other day, right? Right? And look what Jesus says. And I'll throw this out. In reality, and we're going to cover this in a second. We're going to go to communion in a minute. You know what? In reality, there's probably someone in here who has something against someone else in the room. It's probably true. We could say, no, it's not true. God looks at the heart, right? He knows it's true, right? So look what Jesus says. And by the way, here's a funny thing. Most of us could sit here. A lot of us know each other pretty good. Some of us don't know each other all that well. A lot of us could sit here and look so Christ-like today and have all the anger, all the words, and all the other stuff could have gone on or will go on this week prospectively, and no one will know. Here's the problem. God does. And you're probably saying, doggone it. You know, I want to be angry at that person, but no, you can't be, because God knows. And he says, you know what, because I know, leave your gift there and go make it right with your brother. First be reconciled to your brother, then offer your gift. But Lord, everyone's going to know that I'm a sinner. Don't worry, we already all know. Right? And just to be clear, right, we always say this, I like to do it down here. Remember, at the foot of the cross is level ground. We all come in here at the foot of the cross and it's all level. And there's nobody that's better than anybody else. There's nobody higher in God's pecking order than anybody else. We're all down here just saying, thank God Jesus came. And thank God he's alive. And I have a spirit, right? So the Lord says, hey, you know what? You know, don't be a Pharisee. You got that good-looking gown on and everyone thinks you're holy. But you're a mess. He says, go fix it with your brother or your sister. And by the way, Proverbs says this phrase. Look what it says, keep your heart with all diligence. And I'll throw this out. Some of us take, and maybe it could be me too, some of us take more diligence on how good we look on Sunday morning than we do our hearts the other 7 days. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Amen. It's true, right? You know, I got a haircut. You guys know I'm losing a little hair in the back. I'm not sure what happened. But I'm trying to get it down, you know. I brought my brush to church. Get it down, you know, so it's good, right? Does God care? I could look like Alfalfa. Remember that guy? He doesn't care. But he looks at the heart. And he says, man, I want to get that right. I want to get that right. And he just says, put away these things. Put away those things. Keep your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. Right? So important. That's true worship. And then the last point he makes, we'll make it real quick, is, you know, there's a consequence to bad relationships. And here's what I mean by bad. The ones that we don't try to fix. And the consequence is this. He says, agree with your adversary quickly. But this was interesting language that Jesus used. While you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. And the judge hands you over to the officer, and you get thrown into prison. As surely I say to you, you'll by no means get out till you have paid the last penny. And the point is, right, is that if there's a relationship problem, you got to fix it, because there's going to be consequences guaranteed that are going to come out. You got to fix it. And again, if we're going to be, I'll throw this out there, look up. If we're going to be building God's kingdom here, and we're going to have God's kingdom character here, we got to fix our heart. And that's the whole next 5 weeks. This is one particular area of anger and the sin that comes from it, right? We got to fix our heart. There's the issue. So here's the conclusion. What are we going to do? We got to guard our heart and check our heart and be honest with God. You know, because, well, it's not that big a deal, the issue I have with my brother. It's just a little thing. It's probably going to be okay. You know, and we even throw out words sometimes, which is, this is a good biblical word. The Bible says, let love cover. Sometimes we let love cover. That's okay. But if you know it's like a thorn in your side and in that other person's side, love's not going to cover that. We got to fix that problem. That's what God's talking about here, right? So check it out. We got to fix it. So we got to fix it with our anger, with our speech, and with our relationships proactively. And guess what? We got to fix it now. Now, you know, I'm thinking about in a month or so, I'm going to fix it. No, we got to fix it now. We got to fix it as soon as practically possible. We got to fix it. And the last point is the foundation. I can't fix it without a relationship of my own personally with Jesus Christ. I can't fix it unless my sins are forgiven, unless the Holy Spirit works in my heart. Otherwise, I'm just trying to keep the law more. And I can't do it. I need Jesus. And I want to leave you with that thought today. And I kind of, the course, so what are we going to do? My prayer for me and for all of us is, Lord, help me to keep my heart diligently and put away all that stuff in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Anybody got an issue? Both hands are up, right? We all got it, right? So what we got to do? Anybody got a relational issue? We got to do something about it. Now. Amen? Because we want to build God's kingdom here.